Amen. All right. Well, Brother Stephen is not feeling well this morning, so teaching. I was studying last night in preparation. I'm going to continue preaching what I started last week on discerning the deception and get started on discerning through Scripture if I make it far enough through the message. And one of the things that I come across when I was studying, what I was studying was these revivals that are supposedly sweeping through the country and some things that are going on in these revivals that are not scriptural. And one of the things that I came across, or a couple things, was tongues and healing. That's a part of a lot of these revivals. And those are things that are not scriptural today. And so I was like, man, I don't have enough time during the morning service to deal with this subject. I was just going to mention it, and then Brother Stephen said he couldn't teach, so I said, I'm going to try to teach on some of it this morning. I have 50 things here. I have to move through here very quickly. So I'm going to. We're not going to visit every verse. I will look at a few of the verses, and if you can turn quick enough, you can look at them with me. But I'm going to look at the 50 things you should know about tongues and healing. All of the verses are there on your paper, and I'll try to give you the blanks. You can fill in at least all of them before the end of the class. But this is one of the many things that's going on today that is a part of the deception of the end times, a deception from Satan. And he is one that can do a lot of things. Satan has power. Now, he's not more powerful than God, but he has plenty of power. He can recreate casting out devils. He can do all kinds of signs and wonders. And that's what people are looking for. They're looking for an emotional experience, and he can give them that. And so, tongues and healing have been a big subject over the years throughout Christianity. There's been a lot of confusion around it, and God's not the author of confusion. So I'm gonna start at number one and go through here quickly. Now listen, this could be a whole series of studies, and we may go do a more in-depth one later. But for me, just filling in this morning, I just want to give you these. All right. The first thing I'd like to say is the Jews, as a nation, began with signs. They began with signs. And if you want to look Exodus chapter 4 real quickly, Exodus chapter 4, we're going to look at several verses here in Exodus chapter 4. Again, I'm not going to go over all these verses. There's some of the points we're not even going to look at the verses, but you have them. And every bit of this is scriptural. There is a lot of scripture to back up everything that I'm saying today. So the Jews, as a nation, began with signs. And it's important that we start with this to understand, because the Bible tells us later on that the Jews require a sign. And the Bible tells us that tongues were given as a sign. It tells us that healing, the miracle of healing, one man healing another person, those things were given as a sign to an unbelieving Jew. And that never changed. And so the Jews as a nation began with signs. Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 8. And it shall come to pass that they will not believe thee. This is Moses being called out. God had already spoke to him at the burning bush, told him to go free his people, the nation of Israel, going to say, let my people go. All right, verse number 8, and it came to pass that they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first, what? Sign. Is there more than three people looking? Amen, all right. The first sign, that they will believe the voice of the what? The latter sign. All right, verse number 9, and it shall come to pass if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto the voice that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou hast takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And we know that throughout the entire process of God getting the nation of Israel out of Egypt, the Exodus, that's what this book is called, we see sign after sign after sign. These signs were to convince these stubborn Jews that this is of God. We're going to find out later on, it's one of the bullet points, but the signs of healing and of tongues and all those things were to confirm the word of the Lord. God said, I am God, I will be your God, you'll be my people, he'd show them a sign. And we see that all through the Exodus. When they get out of Egypt, they go through the land, and God does sign after sign, the Red Sea. I mean, all these great stories we read about in the Bible are signs that God gave to the nation of Israel to show them and prove to them who He was. So the Jews as a nation began with signs. The Old Testament Jews lived by signs. The Old Testament Jews lived by signs. That is how they moved through the wilderness. That's how they moved through here. Before these books were written, these first five books of the Old Testament, all they had was the Word of God, spoken Word of God to Moses, and signs that they would follow, these signs and wonders. Until we're in the book of Deuteronomy right now, and I don't know if you read this morning's reading yet, but this morning he said that these people, if they were going to set up these leadership positions, they were to write down this thing and read it every day. They were to read it every day so they understood exactly what God wanted. But God showed them signs. Deuteronomy chapter number 11 and verse number 18. You can go back in a personal study and look up these other verses later. Deuteronomy 11, 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart. All right, again, signs and wonders, they were used to confirm the word of the Lord. Words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you can look up, there's a bunch of other verses here to go. And there's even more verses than what I have here. That the Old Testament Jews, they lived by signs. Every time God told Moses something, He would do something to demonstrate His power. You remember whenever Moses was up there on the mountain and God told the people to come near, but don't cross this boundary. I'm going to show them who I am. And all of a sudden, the whole thing goes up in smoke. All these are signs that God did, because the Jews require a sign. All right, fast forward to the New Testament, number three. So, everybody got number two? I'm not looking at the paper. All right, the Jews demanded signs from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason they did this is because their entire existence from the very start began with signs. They lived by signs. So when Jesus showed up, they wanted to see a sign. They wanted to see a sign. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. I'll just read this one. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from Thee. And there's many other verses. They wanted to see a sign from God. Now, Jesus Christ Himself, the Messiah, was here on the earth. They could see Him, they could touch Him, they could feel Him, and they still were asking for a sign. And we're going to look at that here again in just a second. But the Jews demanded signs from the Lord Jesus Christ. So they began with signs, they lived by signs, they demanded signs. And you say, you know, why are you going over this part? Because this is going to show us current day what we're dealing with when it comes to these signs of tongues and healing. All right, the Jews require a sign, not the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 1:22, this is the text verse really for a study of this nature, because it just says it. There's no interpretation needed of this verse. 1 Corinthians 1:22, it says, for the Jews require a what? A sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. So the Jews require a sign. And so you've got to follow along with this thing with signs and wonders and all those things with the Jews to understand when we get up here to the book of Acts. All right, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, the gifts of tongues and healing are signs. Okay, that's found in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 16 through 20. Those are verses that a lot of Pentecostal churches and Church of God and things like that want to quote, but they don't want to do everything in those verses. And I don't have time, because if I go there, I'll stay on it. So, just go look them up later. That they want all the signs that follow filling of the Holy Spirit, supposedly, is what they teach. And they want to do those things. And there's some crazy churches that do take up snakes. I don't know of any that drink deadly poison every Sunday. There's some that play with snakes. And guess what? They die. I mean, there's plenty of stories of these churches playing with snakes. You better realize what time period you're in, and realize that was a sign for unbelieving Jews. And so if you're playing with snakes, there better be, you know, it's not for our time period at all. But if you're trying to convince an unbelieving Jew, you know, go ahead and see what happens. But other than that, I wouldn't mess with it. I wouldn't mess with it either way, because it's not for today. All right? So, number six, these signs were for the purpose of confirming the Word of God. And that's what I mentioned a moment ago. I'm going to look at Hebrews chapter 2. I'll probably never move this fast through a teaching like this ever, except for this morning. So, all right, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness. Okay, we're talking about confirming the Word of God. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. God did the signs and wonders to confirm His Word, to say that this is exactly what I said and how it'll happen and who I am, and God would do signs and wonders to confirm His Word. Okay? That's what they're there for. And don't forget, the Jews require a sign, not the Gentiles. So anytime you see signs in the Bible and wonders, it is for an unbelieving Jew to convince them. All right? Number seven, the signs are spoken of in past tense. In the past tense. In 2 Corinthians 12:12 and Hebrews 2, 3 through 4 that we just read, not in the present or future tense. But when he talks about the signs and wonders that he did to confirm his word to the Jews, in this passage here and in 2 Corinthians 12:12, he's speaking of it in the past tense, something that he had done, not something that was going on right now or even in the future in those two texts. Those who will still look for signs and wonders today are on dangerous ground, for the Antichrist will deceive the world with signs and wonders. This is bringing us up to the point of the message I preached last week, today, on discerning the deception. If you want a sign today, the devil will give you one. And that is what we see going on right now, all over the country, all over the world, really. If you want a sign, he will give you one. I said this in preaching last week. Whenever Moses and Aaron threw down the rod, it turned into a serpent. And Pharaoh's astrologers and magicians, they threw down a rod, it turned into a serpent. And Aaron's ate it up. Going, God's always going to win. He always will win. You know, there's a lot of other things that took place in that Exodus story, the plagues that took place, which boggles my mind that Moses would show up and he would ask God to do something and God would do it and a miracle would take place. And then these astrologers and magicians would show up and say, we can do that too. I mean, why would you want double the amount of lice? Right? It's like they would do something that's awful for the Hebrews. I mean, for the Egyptians, just awful. And then these other magicians and astrologers would show up and they would say, hey, we can do the same thing. And they would double the trouble. And it's amazing how they would do that. But you know what that means? The devil's got power too. He doesn't have power over Christ. And he don't have power over this book. But he has power. So those who are still looking for a sign and wonder today, they're on dangerous ground, because guess what? They'll be given one. And there's a lot of verses we could look at when it comes to this. I looked at some last week during the message. The Lord Jesus Christ, number nine, the Lord Jesus Christ said that an evil and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Matthew 12:39 is also in our text verse for the series that we're preaching right now that we'll look at this morning in the morning service, so I'm not going to turn there either. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Now, Christianity, and I say that loosely because that's what the world calls people that say that they're Christians. Christianity as a whole in this country, they're looking for some kind of experience. That there's churches this morning that are full of people that are looking for an emotional experience. They're looking for a feeling. And the majority of them will find it this morning. There will be services all over where there's speaking in tongues, where there's healing, where there's all kind of emotionalism. The music will be just right for it, the fog machines. And if you were to go into some of these mega churches and look in the background, listen, there's nothing wrong with somebody practicing to sing. Brother Carl was singing today, and I texted him and said, hey, just make sure you remember you're singing and let you know I'm praying for you. He said, I'm practicing. That's good. But these big churches, I've seen a glimpse into the background of some of these places. It is a production. Every song, every light, every fog machine, the preacher's message, everything is slated, it's written out. It is a production. At this time, we're going to do this. At this time, we're going to do this. And there's nothing wrong with being organized, but what I'm saying is that they are creating an atmosphere to give somebody an experience. It is no different than a movie. It's no different than Hollywood. It's no different than any kind of rock concert. Everything is set up just how it should be in order to give somebody an experience, in order to give them a sign. Number 10, the Bible speaks of various spiritual gifts to believers, but tongues and healing are never emphasized more than the other gifts. The Bible speaks of various spiritual gifts to believers, but tongues and healing are never emphasized more than the other gifts. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 14 here in just a moment. Again, I'm not going to. If I turn to all this, I will not get through 50. But you can go up and look at some of these verses, and you'll find that these are listed in the letter written to the church at Corinth for a reason. And I'm going to tell you that here in just a moment. And I bet you can't guess what group of people are in the church. Anybody? If there's tongues and healings going on in the church at Corinth, who's there? Unbelieving Jews. God, this isn't in the notes, God had to help Peter understand that his program was changing, that he was going to the Gentile. And so what did he do when Peter was in Joppa? He was laying there and God sent down bacon in a blanket. Right? When he was there on the rooftop. And Brother Bone and I got to stand in that place where God said it was okay to eat bacon. And we stopped and gave a word of thanks and praise. And then we moved on the tour. But we were there. Simon the Tanner. We were in front of his house. It said over the door, Simon the Tanner. And that's where God told Peter it's okay. Why? Because some things were changing. But what did God have to give Peter to convince him, this is of me? A sign. A sign. Now, Peter wasn't unbelieving as far as he didn't believe in Christ. But he was unbelieving that things were changing because he was a Jew. So God had to show him that. And then later in Acts 15, he stands up and goes, hey guys, I don't understand it, but whatever Paul's saying is right because God showed me a sign that things were changing. Because they require signs. So the Jews that are in Corinth are unbelieving that things are changing and what God's doing. So God has to show them a sign. That's this whole setup. I'm getting ahead of myself, we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Those Christians in Corinth that believed Paul's gospel didn't have the book of Corinthians. They didn't have all. We have the whole thing. We have the book, Genesis, Revelation. We got everything. So we read it, we believe it by faith, and then God blesses that. We don't have to have a sign. We just believe God's Word. Right? They had to have a sign. They didn't have the Word of God yet, those Jews that were there. All right? What number are we on? 11. The gifts of tongues and healing were not considered the best gifts. These things are important to mention because when you go into churches that emphasize this stuff, they emphasize speaking in tongues and healing. Out of all the spiritual gifts a person can have, those are the ones that are emphasized. Gifts of tongues and healing. And I'm gonna mention this probably again here in just a moment. I'm not sure. But I don't have any doubt that whenever these people speak in tongues and they have their experiences, that what they're experiencing is not real. I'm just telling you, it's not of God. Everybody in this room probably knows somebody that's mixed up in this. And I am not, and I will not say, now some of it is fake as all get out. I mean, there's videos of some of this stuff, and you're like, come on, man, nobody believes this. But there's times where you look at it, and it is as real as can be. But I'm telling you, it's not of the Holy Spirit. If it goes against His Word, it's not God. That's what I've been trying to teach. So I'm not saying that some of these people aren't genuine. I'm not saying as far as what they experience. But I'd be careful with this stuff because it's another spirit. Gifts of tongues and healing were not considered the best gifts, which means that they weren't emphasized. So why do these places emphasize them so much? The gift of healing was a sign. Gift of healing was a sign. And I'm not looking at these verses intentionally because I want to get down to the bottom of the list and I want you to look at some verses with me. The gift of healing was a sign. Here's a good one, number 13. Yeah, me neither. All right. AI stuff's taking over. All right. It is not God's will for all Christians to be healed. How about that? Well, you weren't healed because of your faith. Well, I got verses to debunk that too, because when the disciples couldn't heal, they said, hey, why could we not heal this guy? He goes, it was because of your faith, not the guy that was sick. Over in Mark chapter number 2, when they brought the impotent man, that man on the cart up, and they tore the ceiling up and dropped him down, the Bible said that he was healed because Jesus saw the faith of the people that brought him to Christ, not the man that was sick. Again, all that was done. When Jesus was healing people, all that was a sign of things to come and to confirm His Word. And so, it's not God's will for all Christians to be healed. You can go back and read that 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul said there was given to him a thorn in the flesh, the buffer of Satan. And so, and he said God didn't take it away, God didn't heal it. He just said, Lord, may my sickness bring you glory. And he lived the rest of his life with whatever that was. Not everybody's meant to be healed. In the same passage, number 14, the Apostle Paul, who was an apostle of God, he could not heal himself. Now, these signs of healing and tongues, they cease. And we don't have time to look at all those verses right now, but they're in these verses listed. But they cease. There's a reason they cease. We transition from God dealing with the nation of Israel to the church. There's a transition time period going on in the book of Acts. In Corinthians, there's unbelieving Jews there. It's a transition. But when that transition is finished, now we have this book, and this is it. We believe this, and that's it. We don't need a sign. We don't need a wonder. We don't need any of those things. We just believe the Bible. All right? He could not heal himself. Near the end of his ministry. Now, I want you to look at this verse. I thought it was interesting. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. And also, you need to turn here because you're not going to be able to spell this name without looking at it. Because I can't pronounce it. 2 Timothy. Yes. Sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. Apologize. 2 Timothy 4, verse 20. Mr. Trophy, I must. Verse number 20. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum. What? Sick. Now, why would Paul leave that man there sick if he could heal somebody? Huh? Paul couldn't heal this man. Now, in Paul's early ministry, after he first got saved, Paul did some signs and wonders. Why? So that the other disciples and the Jews could know that this man is from God. right? But toward the end of Paul's ministry, he can't heal nobody. Why? Something changed. It's no longer needed. That healing ministry in the tongues were no longer needed. All right, so Paul cannot heal this man. Verse number 16, instead of healing Timothy, Paul gave him medical advice. The verse that every wino and drunk knows, he gave Paul, Timothy, a little wine for thy stomach's sake. The folks this past week probably had dinner and they had a little wine for their stomach's sake with a meal. Alright. You want to know how I feel about that? Most of you are here, but go back and listen to the message our Sunday school I did on turning water to wine. Alright. Number 17, contrary to the modern faith healers' love gifts, Brother Ellis calls it a love cult, and faith offerings were not a part of the healing ministries of the disciples. That was not a part of their ministry. These love gifts and faith, these are terms that these churches use, that these revivals are using. It was not a part of the healing ministry of the disciples. Number 18, I got to start reading these. A Christian who hasn't confessed his sins and repented of them has no business expecting God to heal him of anything. Now, this is getting into an area that bothers some people. I've mentioned it before on Wednesday nights. If somebody brings a prayer request and says, please pray for this person, they're sick. Oh, by the way, they're not saved. They need to get saved. Right? I mean, I want to see them get better. We might love them. They might be our friend. But if they're lost on their way to hell, they need to get saved more than anything. And this sickness may draw them to Christ, and that's what I'm praying happens. But there's people all the time that have never trusted Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, and they want to show up at these healing services. I want to be healed. What they need is to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. All right. Here's a good one. Number 19, if modern faith healers really have the gift of healing, then they should prove their ministry by visiting hospitals and nursing homes and healing the sick, rather than writing books, holding healing meetings, and begging for money on television. Prove your ministry. God gave you the gift of healing. Prove it. Let's go down to Children's Hospital. Number 20, Satan has the power to heal, and this will cause millions to be led astray in the coming tribulation period. You can go read about that in Revelation 13. It says twice in that chapter that he healed, that Antichrist was healed from the wound that he had, and even dies and comes back to life. That's Satan's power. He has the ability to heal somebody. So that sounds crazy. I'm just telling you, he's powerful, and he does it to deceive. Number 21. The gift of tongues was given as a sign. All right, and I do want you to look at this. 1 Corinthians 14. And we'll stay in 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm going to move really, really quick. I only got like 10 minutes. 1 Corinthians 14. So comparing Scripture with Scripture, 1 Corinthians 14 with 1 Corinthians 1, the Jews require a sign. You compare these two verses, and it tells you exactly what sign, what tongues are for. And I don't know as many people that are deceived by these faith healers as I am by this one, the tongues. There's more people deceived by this than there are with the faith healers. All right, 1 Corinthians 1:22. Okay, so who requires a sign? Jews. Verse 22. Wherefore tongues are for a what? Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So comparing these two verses, the one we read earlier in this one, tongues are for a sign to an unbelieving Jew. Right? That's what it says. Okay? And so that's what they're there for. Going all the way back to the start of the study, the Jews, their whole entire existence started with signs. They had to have signs. They requested signs of Christ. That's the way that they were set up. That's the way that God did it for them, was through these signs. We have the Bible. We have the complete canon of Scripture. We don't have to have signs. All right? Number 22, the gift of tongues was the supernatural ability of some Christians to speak in foreign languages in the presence of unbelieving Jews. Not one person in Acts chapter 2 spoke in an unknown language. Peter got up and started preaching, and everybody heard it in their own language. That was a sign. That is what tongues is. Tongues is a language. All right? It's not some foreign, you know, or some unknown tongue, unknown language. It was a foreign language, and that's what happened there in Acts chapter 2. All right, number 23. God has never caused or commanded Christians to speak in unknown tongues. I've got to speed through here to get to these last ones. Number 24, the Bible never says that tongues is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Who's heard that before? Somebody will get saved in some of these churches, and then like 2 weeks later they'll speak in tongues. Oh, you finally got the evidence. There's no baptism of the Holy Ghost found in 1 Corinthians 14. And we're staying here because we're going to look at some verses in this chapter. Because what I'm getting down to, Jews, the tongues were for a sign for an unbelieving Jew, but there were rules given for speaking in tongues. And again, it's not some unknown foreign special love language, something or other. They were speaking in another language. God gave them the ability to do that, and these other people heard it in their language, and they said, wow, you know, this must be of God. But there were rules given for this thing. All right? And so in 1 Corinthians 14, when it's given the rules, it never says anything about a baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right, number 26, Paul said that all true Christians were baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost, and all true Christians were sealed with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. But all Christians did not speak in tongues. Cannot find that anywhere through there where everybody that's saved gets that evidence of the Holy Ghost. You know, and there's some churches, sadly, that are getting up telling people, if you've never spoken in tongues, you're not saved. That's a damnable heresy. Number 27, the Bible never says that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a second Christian experience or blessing. All right, these are things that are taught. The baptism of fire is the condemnation of the wicked in hell. It's not being on fire for the Lord. I have heard of people praying for the baptism. I was like, are you crazy? Praying for the baptism of fire? That's judgment. That's condemnation. And you're praying that to fall on your church? Number 29, Acts 2:3 speaks of cloven tongues. And you have to be careful with this. Like as of fire. They'll take that verse and run with it as a text verse for this. But the book of Acts says nothing at all about tongues of fire or baptism of fire. It says cloven tongues like as fire. There's no time to explain that. Hopefully you understand just that statement. All right. If a person does not have the Spirit of Christ, he has no business waiting for the baptism of the Holy Ghost because he doesn't even belong to Christ. All right, and some of these I wish I could spend more time on, and I may at some point. Pentecost was never a religious movement or a religious experience. It was a Jewish feast day, which always occurred 50 days after the Passover. All these revivals are saying that this is the second, you know, awakening or whatever, or the awakening or whatever it is. They think it's Acts chapter 2 Pentecostal experience all over again. And what they're doing is praising and worshiping God, and that's what they say they're doing, and speaking in tongues and casting out devils. Go back and read Acts 2. Peter is preaching judgment to those people for crucifying the Messiah. So if Acts 2 was to recreate and happen again in some of these so-called revivals, it would be a preacher getting up preaching against sin, preaching against unrighteousness. People would be getting born again. They would be repenting of their sodomy, repenting of their sin, repenting of their fornication, adultery, and all those kind of things. It wouldn't just be a big, you know, love fest, if that's what it was. All right? Are we on number 32? Jesus said that when the Holy Ghost came, He would not speak of Himself because He would glorify Christ. If you need to get these after we're done, come see me because I got to speed. No Christian in the Bible is ever told to pray, preach, sing, or praise God in tongues. Nowhere in there. You can't find it. Pray, preach, sing, or praise. 34. The disciples received the Holy Ghost in John 20:22, but they did not speak in tongues when this happened. All these are just different points, bullet points, to say, hey, what's going on today is ridiculous. It's not of God. Number 35, the filling of the Spirit in Acts 4:31 and Ephesians 5 does not include speaking in tongues. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Nowhere does it say anything in there about tongues. But yet these churches are preaching, if you've not spoken in tongues, you're not filled with the Spirit and you've not been saved. 36, when speaking of spiritual gifts in Ephesians 4, Paul does not mention tongues. Now, if it was for today, do you think Paul would put a little emphasis on it if we were supposed to be doing it? But there's no reason to do it. Matter of fact, we're going to go on to read about... Well, I'm not going to have time. But when you read 1 Corinthians 14, what we find out is people are speaking in tongues to say, hey, look at me. Because other than that, it has no purpose at all. If somebody got up, and every now and again, we have a missionary come and they'll sing a verse of a song in another language. And we're like, okay, that's neat, but you go any further, we don't know what you're saying. And all you're doing is edifying yourself. I'm not saying that's what they do. They're just trying to show us that they're, you know, diligent in what they learn for their field. Right? But if he was to get up and just keep going and going and going, and I mean, it would do us no good. Right? That's neat. Sometimes when they'll sing a song in another language, we know the tune. We say, man, that's good. Praise the Lord. But if he was to keep going and going and going, and that's what was happening in Corinth. And it doesn't edify Christ at all. There's no reason for anybody to speak in tongues today. Zero. All right, there were only three cases in the book of Acts where people spoke in tongues. They were not unknown tongues. And these tongues were assigned to the Jews every time, each time, because the Jews require a sign. Three times in the book of Acts, tongues shows up. Every one of them were assigned to an unbelieving Jew. Tongues are not mentioned in they're not even mentioned in the list of spiritual gifts in Romans 12:6-8. All right, we're getting there. Although tongues, again, not unknown, it's a foreign language, were permitted in 1 Corinthians 14 because there was a Jewish synagogue in Corinth. There was unbelieving Jews there. You can go read that in Acts 18. They were not encouraged because tongues did not edify the church. That's what I just mentioned. I got ahead of myself. You can read that there in 1 Corinthians 14. Okay, now we're getting into some of the rules for speaking in tongues in this church in Corinth. Paul had to set this thing straight because it was getting out of hand. So it doesn't edify Christ. It doesn't edify the. It wasn't helping the church. They were just blabbing in these foreign languages, and it wasn't helping anybody. Paul said in verse number 19 of chapter 14, verse 19, he said, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. It's better to speak five words clearly than 10,000 with an unknown tongue. Alright, let's look at some of the rules for speaking in tongues. And I got to move quick because my time's up. Alright, number 42. No one was permitted to speak in tongues in the church without an interpreter. Okay? That's 1 Corinthians 14:27-28. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by what? Three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, Let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. If there's not somebody to interpret, then they don't do it. That's the example I just gave of the missionary. He gets up and he starts preaching in Spanish or whatever, and there's nobody to interpret that. It doesn't help us one bit. We don't understand anything he's saying. So he doesn't need to do it. All right, so no more than three. And these services, I don't know if you, has anybody ever been in a service where they start speaking in tongues? Anybody? There's several in here. I have. All right. Actually, the first time I was ever in one was with David Theros down in Florida. He took me there. I'm just joking. I actually took him. I don't have time to tell a story how that happened. I'll tell it later. I feel like I have to justify why I was there. I told a friend, if you come to church with me, I'll go with you. That's what happened. All right, so we ended up going. We ended up leaving, though, because that guy was going around smacking people and they were falling out. And he came up to me and I said, do not touch me. And then me and David left. So, all right. So, without an interpreter. But I've been in these services, and some of you have too. And the one that I was in, there were people falling out, speaking in tongues everywhere, and nobody was interpreting nothing. Because I asked the question, hey, what is he saying? Oh, he's full of the Holy Spirit. Well, what's he saying? They don't know. Right? All right. No one's able to speak without an interpreter. All right. Here's one. Because of all the services I've heard about and the one that we were in, women were not allowed to speak in tongues in the church. And every time I've seen this happen, a woman was the first one to do it. And then all of them start doing it. We have a bunch of chickens now, and they all start, wah, 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 wah. That's what it sounds like to me. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you can look that up, verse 34 and 35. Women were not allowed to speak in the church. And it says it right there in the text. You can go look at it. All right, those who did speak in tongues, which again was a foreign language, they had power over their own spirit. And the reason this is important, you can see that in verse number 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That means they had it all under control. But if you get in these services, these people don't, if they're having a real experience, again, I told you that I'm not saying that what they have is not real. But whatever it is, they don't have control of themselves. If they did, then they wouldn't be knocked out on the floor, people covering them with blankets. Right? So when these people were speaking, they had full control of their capacities. I mean, they had control of everything. They knew what they were doing. The people in all these revivals and stuff, they're falling out. I'm telling you, that's dangerous stuff. You're talking about another spiritual world that's not of God. Because you see some of these people and you're like, man, that is real. And you know what? It probably is real. Not the Holy Spirit of God, though. You have to be careful with that. All right, number 45, a religious man who doesn't bridle his tongue is deceived and he has vain religion. That's James 1:26. So what's significant about that? Somebody loses control of their body and their tongue starts going 90 miles an hour. They do not have control of their tongue and they are deceived. All right, vain religion, James 1:26. Number 46, many seducing spirits are in the world. And it is every Christian's duty to try the spirits. What I preached on last week, there's all the verses for it. Many seducing spirits. Now, if you want to feel something, He'll give you something to feel. Every time. Number 47, the Word of God is the standard by which we are to judge all doctrines. This is along the lines of what I'm preaching, so I'm just moving through here. Verse 48, he that is spiritual judges all things. When it comes to this tongues and healing, you need to get the Word of God out and open it up and say, is what's happening right now of God? And when it comes to this tongue stuff, you've got some guidance in here to say, hey, the first question I'm asking, if there's tongues, are there any Jews here? Unbelieving Jews. Oh, there's not? Well, then we're done. No need for tongues. Now, the Bible tells us that tongues have ceased. Right? And so, even if there is an unbelieving Jew there, you know how he gets saved? He gets saved by believing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Same way. But I'm going to ask, is there any unbelieving Jews? Are there any interpreters? Are there more than three people doing it? Are there any women doing it? Right? And you're not going to get past the first one most of the time. All right, the Word of God is the standard by which we judge all doctrines. He that is spiritual does all things. Last two. Teaching the scriptural truth about signs, healings, and tongues is not a matter of being mean or prejudiced or intolerant. But those are all the things they call us. Right? For what I'm teaching this morning, that's what they would call us. Because, like I said last week, they say, well, you don't know what I felt. You don't know what I experienced. So you're just mean. It is simply a matter of obeying the command to rightly divide God's Word. 2 Timothy 2:15. And then number 50. Right? Last one. Let God be true and every man a what? A liar. Well, you say that's mean. No, that's Romans 3:4. That's Romans 3:4. That's not mean. That's Romans 3:4. All right, over my time, but I did get through 50. Take them home. Look at it. If you like to do a study on your own, you've got all the notes. Go look up all these verses. I'm telling you that I bet you God will show you a whole lot more than what we just went over when it comes to this subject. All right, let's pray. Brother Gaddis, would you mind praying and asking the Lord to bless our morning service? Thank you for.